This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
So, again, it was your fault entirely, almost entirely Briscoe's fault, which is what the name of the show should be.
It is.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
What is physical distance? What is time?
What
whenever,
is setting up the camera to view an empty chair?
What is miscommunication whenever Scott Chasen is the prize at the end of the map? Oh, no need to worry. No need to fret. Scott Chasen now of the 24/7 Sports KU beat joins us on Almost Entirely Sports. Hey, Scott. Nice to see you. I mean, hear you.
Yeah, what happened here? Why was I told just moments ago by a scared and shaking beard who didn't want to give me any bad news for some reason that apparently I'm expected in studio now?
We had talked about you coming in studio after your new role had been announced to talk about it. For me, I never let that thought go because I just want to see your face. And I also never confirmed that, so that had just kind of been the lie that I was living. It's not your fault. It was what I thought was happening, and it's okay that it wasn't. We did, however, set up the Facebook camera for it to be able to show you in studio, and you're not here.
Ooh, I feel really, really bad about that one. Mm-hmm. But you would have missed out on this great anecdote about I've told you I'm going to Alaska, and I guess when you call them the city that I'm going to, they don't believe in the internet. So I've been on the phone with people, like, constantly trying to explain, like, what Twitter and social media and Facebook and things are. And they just, I get the sense that they just think I'm, like, a moron.
Wait, okay, so let's go ahead and dig on that for a second. You're trying to go to Alaska to run a half marathon, right? This is the current truth that we're living in?
Yeah, I mean, I've bought and booked about, like, three-quarters of the trip. I mean, all I pretty much need to buy is my flight there. I've got everything else taken care of and one of my hotels and figure out a car. But, you know, other than that, no, I've booked, like, two-thirds of this thing. So it's definitely happening, even if I have to, like, bring the internet to Cordova, Alaska.
Where exactly is Cordova, Alaska in the grand scheme of Alaska?
Well, that's a great question, Josh. Oh, no, that was it.
That was your full answer.
Yeah, no, it's so I'm flying into Anchorage. I'm going to spend a couple nights in Anchorage. Obviously, I don't want to fly, you know, across the country the day of a half marathon. That
right.
feels like it'd be a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to spend a couple nights there, fly, because you can only get to this place by flying or by ferry, and the ferry is going to be like $500 if I bring a car.
Okay.
So I was like, I'll just take a $100 flight, hop over there. And I'm going to run, and then that night I fly back to Seattle, and then the next day I fly to Seattle to Dallas, and it's Big 12 Football Media Day.
Look at you. Look at you scheduling your life around a trip to Alaska and also getting the chance to talk to David Beatty.
Yeah. I like to do a little bit of everything, and if I'm going to go to Alaska and Cordova, a city that on what I can only assume is the only website of anywhere for the city, it notes that, you know, it hasn't been overrun by tourists. Now, this website was for a hotel.
Fantastic.
So I found it like kind of offensive that they're like, we don't want any outsiders here, but please pay $170 for a room because there's no cheaper rate, no alternative.
Cityofcordova.net is apparently the official website of the government of Cordova, I think.
Oh, they don't have a government there. It's strictly Penguin money.
That is perfect. I'm looking at the website, and it looks like it was made by penguins. It looks like something that a penguin could have coded in 2004. It's very good.
Do you remember the episode of The Office when Dunder Mifflin got a new website?
No, but I'm assuming that you'll reset the stage for all of us who don't remember that.
Okay, so they're in this meeting, and Ryan, the former temp who's now like the CFO or whatever of the company, he's like, hey, we're going to have this new website, whatever, and Jim, now played by, John Krasinski, has this aside, and he's like, new website. Last I checked, Dunder Mifflin already has a website. And they cut to, like, this blank page with, like, a snowman waving hello, saying, new website under construction. That's basically what the city of Cordova is.
That sounds like a wonderful time. And it makes tons of sense that for you to run a half marathon, you have to fly to Alaska, as if you couldn't do that somewhere closer.
Can we do a segment on these things called, like, 30 seconds of being serious? Because I feel like that would be probably helpful.
Yeah, please. I want to know why you're going to Alaska to do this.
So I decided to make a change to my health. Like last year, I lost like 60 pounds, got in shape, all that good stuff. And honestly, I was driving back, was going to run somewhere kind of crappy and boring. But then I decided, like, no, why don't I go somewhere cool? I've made this, you know, big journey, and I really changed a lot about my life. Why don't I experience it somewhere great? So I'm going to run a half marathon alongside a glacier, and that feels like a pretty cool life experience.
Under the buzzer, good explanation, logical reasoning, got the shot off with 3 or 4 seconds to spare. You're clearly the LeBron of serious things.
Oh, yeah, and I probably saved my timeout, unlike Brett Brown yesterday.
Yes.
So we could have advanced the ball, thrown it into Joel Embiid, and he would have gotten fouled, went to the line, hit 2 free throws, and would have gone to overtime.
Yep, that's exactly right. You should be the coach of radio shows and basketball teams.
Oh, yeah, because I just have so much time to take this on, too, I think.
Well, I meant kind of replacing your newfound hobby of running marathons around polar bears. I don't think polar bears live in Alaska.
I kind of think they do, and in fact, I don't know if it's polar bears. Look, I don't know anything about anything. You can cut that beard if you'd like or clip that for whatever. I really am kind of dumb.
Done.
But what what I do know is, like, they said on the half marathon thing, they're like, there's going to be a car that follows you, and this could be me imagining it, but I'm pretty sure they said there are going to be a bunch of people with guns in case bears show up.
Well, that's fantastic. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell us about what you're doing with 24/7 and your new job and everything while I figure out where polar bears live. Can we do that?
Yeah, let's do it. So 24/7 Sports, I couldn't be more excited to join this team. I'm coming over as their KU basketball football recruiting writer. I'm really going to spend a lot of my time in a lot of different circles just trying to dive a little bit deeper into content. There's a ton of great people covering KU, a ton of great newspapers, a ton of great websites. I think it's a pretty crowded landscape, but you know, maybe what there isn't right now is as many deep dives and features into a lot of kids that you may not have heard of, especially a lot of recruits. You know, a lot of kids that maybe will, maybe won't come to Kansas, but certainly have stories connected to the area. You know, I think there's a good opportunity to fill some content there. And, you know, I really couldn't be more excited to get started with what I believe is like the most talented recruiting team in the country. I mean, talking to a guy, Gabe Brooks. He covers Louisiana, Texas, two areas that KU is heavily recruiting, and we're just going over the list of kids that, you know, KU has interest in, and just getting to use the wealth of knowledge that he has. It's been kind of wild, so it's a pretty ridiculous place to be. I'm really enjoying it. Just started there, and the best part is I get to be in person on all your shows.
Polar bears live in countries that ring the Arctic Circle: Canada, Russia, the United States, and Alaska, Greenland, and Norway.
Yeah, polar bears are in Alaska, dude. I'm pretty sure.
So this made-up city in Alaska that you mentioned is very South Alaska, and I'm wondering if that's going to do it. But like, even then, like, South Alaska is still very north. So I think there's a legitimate chance that part of your motivation to finish this dang half marathon is going to be not getting murdered and eaten by a polar bear.
Is this that thing, though, where, like, Portland, Maine is actually, like, lower than Portland, Oregon or something? Like, I forget
question.
How it all works, but I think this place might be even with Florida.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us about some of the things you've already written for 24/7 while I figure out where Cordova fits in the grand scheme of things?
No, so today I had a story up on Billy Preston. I spoke to KU assistant Norm Roberts yesterday. He actually was pretty awesome talking about him. He compared him to three players, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and Kevin Garnett. He didn't say he's going to be as good as those.
Those
three
are good players. Those are good players,
but
Scott.
He,
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, they're very good. But he made the point that, like, on any given day, his game can kind of look like Paul George, or he can kind of show skills and shoot like Carmelo Anthony, or, you know, have that body of a young Kevin Garnett. He really does have tools and skills to kind of make himself a better prospect than he's being projected right now. Obviously, I think he's coming off a shoulder injury. No one's really seen him for a while. There are a lot of things working against him. But, you know, I get the sense, talking to the KU staff, that they're still really high on him. And they feel like if he's got a chance, if a team, you know, nabs him in the second round, or, you know, someone gets him as an undrafted free agent, there's a real chance we're hearing more about Billy Preston in the NBA than we obviously did from his college career.
Alaska is basically Russia. I forget that. I know Sarah Palin pointed that out years ago, and it's something that stuck with me, as most of what she has said and did has done. But I believe that she could see Russia from her house.
Yeah, that's my extent of U.S. geography knowledge. I can name like 35 capitals, and I know you can see Russia from Alaska, according to someone who almost was vice president.
So Cordova isn't in one of the legs of Alaska, which I feel like, you know, that's kind of like where you, like, are you really even in Alaska? It's up, like, right up, you know, kind of the corner of the mainland, and South Alaska makes it sound like you're not that far north, until you remember that South Alaska is like North Canada, and that's, North Canada just feels like eventually it's just an iceberg.
Hey, embrace or settle this debate. I can't figure out if I need a passport.
Oh man! Okay, Beers just started googling furiously. I can. There's smoke coming off of his thumbs right now as he types away at his phone. I think if you never land in Canada, you're good. Do you land in Canada?
What if we do? I don't know. What, like, my plane is, the plane out is direct from Cordova to Seattle, but there are two stops, and I don't know where those stops are. They might be in Canada.
I think Beers has an answer. I think if you literally don't, like, leave the plane or the airport or whatever, I think you're going to be good, because they're not going to come on the plane to check. So I think as long as you don't try to go out into Canada, you're probably good. Beards, what did you find?
Via Anchorage.net, U.S. citizens flying between another state and Alaska do not need a passport. However, those driving through Canada or traveling on ferry or cruise ship with stops in Canada are required to carry one.
But are you...
Did it really qualify or, like, clarify, like, if you're driving through Canada, you're going to need a passport?
It did.
That's really helpful information.
You can't just get to the border going, oh, no, that's cool. I'm going to up America.
No, I'm just
it's
passing
fine.
Through, guys.
I'm just passing through.
No, it's like those signs that say, like, no through traffic, but everyone just blows through and
right.
goes through anyway. You know who's going to stop you? Canada?
Do you need a passport to go to a, if you type, do you need a passport? That's the first thing that comes up. But I don't. You know who you should ask, Scott?
Who?
Someone more qualified than me and Beards.
Honestly, this is legal advice, right? Like, you're officially, we have attorney-client privilege, correct?
You have actually not paid me for this yet, so I'm going to need you to Venmo me a dollar. And also, this isn't currently being broadcast on live radio, so we're good.
Okay, thank God. Also, I don't do Venmo. I don't let the machines take control of my life, but that's cool that you do.
I mean, also, like, you're trying to figure out how to get to Alaska. You're not hiking there, so I think at this point you may as well go. You work for a website, Scott. Just a website. There's no printed paper, Scott. Use Venmo.
Yeah, I print out all my stories and hand them out. Honestly, distribution takes a long freaking time at 24/7.
Yeah.
Crazy model.
And actually, that's what the site's named after. Because you literally have you have to be printing and distributing things 24/7.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Do I have a job now? And market it. Can I you know, I actually have a crazy idea for your distribution model. Don't print it out.
Wow.
Am I your boss? Did I just become your boss?
Yeah, I think you just became my hero.
Well, that's
kind of like being my boss, except you don't make any money, and also it doesn't mean anything.
That's, both of those things are fair. I'm fighting allergies with a broadsword at this point. I'm going to have Beard turn off my microphone while you answer. Is 24/7 a subscription-based site? And if so, how do we work that?
So, yes and no is the answer to that question. We're going to have a lot of free content, especially if you're on the boards at fog.net. You've kind of seen right now with that merger. There's a lot of free stuff, and I'm also working to give you guys some free previews of what's normally premium content. You're going to get stories, for example, a recruit, Ricky Thomas, committed to KU last night. I got on the phone with him, talked to him, wrote a story. That's up there free for you guys. So that part of it is free. Now, there is going to be some things that are, you know, VIP content. You can buy subscriptions online. You can get a monthly or for a year. And we're going to have some pretty cool promotions up. I think right now you can get a week free. And in the future, there may be opportunities to get like a month or something free. I really don't know at this point. It just depends how things are going. But it's a little bit on both sides. Being that kind of VIP member gets you access to, for one, me and the recruiting team, and being able to ask us direct questions. You know, if there's ever something you want to know that you're like, wow, Josh is really horrible at asking questions, why can't I ask Scott this question?
Fair.
You know, you do the subscription thing, you ask the question, and, you know, every day I'm on that VIP message board, too, dropping little notes, things from conversations that maybe don't make their way into free stories, but, you know, are very important to KU fans that they'd like to know about, so it's a little something special for these subscribers. So both, to answer your question, that's why I think it's a great model, because we're not forcing you to pay. We're basically giving you stuff for free and then saying, you know what, if you like what you're getting and you'd like more of it, yeah, it's kind of like Netflix. You can watch your parents' cable if you live at home, if you're a student, if you're a child, but, you know, if you want to watch the end of the bleeping world, yeah, you got to pay for Netflix.
It's a good description. It also helps me realize why I heard you shouting at Beards that you needed a $5 money order before you would come on for this segment. That's actually why we were off on the timing today.
Oh, yeah. That's 100% why. I'm actually sitting in studio under the desk right now. So anyone watching on Facebook Live, that's why you can't see me.
He had a really weird...
Ah!
He had a weird request, though. He wanted two $2 bills and then four quarters.
Well, that's because Wendy's has those 50 cent frosties.
$3. Hold on, that's $3.
No, $2.
$2 yeah. bills and then four quarters.
Oh, keep up,
oh,
Scott.
That's my bad then. I'm not a math guy.
He collects unique bills and he wanted to buy two frosties.
Embrace debate here. If you paid with a $2 bill, would they accept it?
Yeah, it's legal. Oh, Beard just took one out of his wallet. Wow, that was weird. Yeah, it's legal tender. They have to take it, just like they have to take it if you give them, like, a bucket of pennies. But, like, you are a D-bag either way.
Yeah. $2 bill, honestly, I'd rather have the pennies, I think, because no one's, like...
Stop.
I don't know, man.
Scott.
I think I'd
Scott,
rather have the pennies.
Scott. Think about the inconvenience of having a $2 bill versus the inconvenience of having 200 small coins that on their own are intrinsically worthless.
Yeah. But at the same time, you could, like, throw the pennies at people, or you could, like, I don't know, flip a coin. You always need one of those. Or there's so many things you can do with a penny. You can't really do anything with the $2 bill.
You can roll a $2 bill up and use it to consume drugs.
Oh, that's great.
You wanted to hit people with pennies. Don't claim the moral high ground here. You wanted to kill people with pennies.
Kill people? Wow. This is...
Sorry, Maine.
Yeah, there you go. No, okay. A $2 bill is basically like a trip to the bank to change the $2 bill into two $1 bills, correct?
Just put it into your account, but yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could do that, too.
It's a trip to the bank to put $2 onto your piece of plastic. Which is also what you do with pennies, except you have to dump them in that freaking Coinstar machine, and then it charges... I don't know if it charges you a fee or not. I imagine it probably
Wait,
does
is,
in some places.
Is bank accounts the things that poor people have when they don't have Bitcoin?
Yes. Sorry. Man, I forget. This new job has changed you already.
Oh, yeah. All my money's in Bitcoin. That thing's foolproof, man.
Yeah, no, it is. I've heard exclusively that. In fact, I have one Bitcoin that I'd like to sell you if you are interested in buying my single Bitcoin.
Is Bitcoin still around? Feels like it basically dropped off the face of the earth like 6 weeks ago.
Well, Scott, why don't we continue with this very good format that we've got? Why don't you tell me if KU is going to hit the over-under of 3 wins in football this season, and I'm going to find out what Bitcoin's currently doing.
Okay. I was surprised to see the over-under there, not because I think it's impossible for them to win 3 games. I think certain units, running back, secondary, will be significantly improved, and certain others, even though they're losing pieces, should be more consistent, especially the defensive line, maybe even quarterback, although that may be too much to ask. At the same time, if the over-under is 3, you kind of have to take the under just because it's like you're betting on them winning all 3 non-conference games against a Nicholls State team that's actually a lot better than people think, and then also a Big 12 game to win the bet. So smart money on that would be under. I would have set the over-under at, like, I don't know, 2, 2.5 maybe. Probably 2, honestly. But I don't know. I got a really weird sense from that line. Kind of, if last year's line didn't happen, I think it was 3 last year. If that didn't happen last year, this wouldn't be suspicious to me. But the fact that it is at 3, like, I don't know how anyone could take the over on that right now.
Also, over under something that Beards and I were discussing earlier today, I have reached the bottom of my box of tissues. It is 5:37 here Central Time, and this box of tissues has been emptied.
Over? I don't know.
I think
I need to go find more.
No, I think I have a travel size like backup.
Well, that'll
in
last
my
30 seconds.
Backpack that'll get me through the rest of this segment.
So
maybe.
Yes, I need to go find more.
No, it's fine. I'll go during the break. I need you to stay here in case Scott wants to be serious for 24 seconds again, because we need that kind of work. Okay, so Let's see. I've finally found... Let's look at the one-year Bitcoin chart. Okay, so it's better off now than it was, say, a year ago. Its peak was in December. It kind of crashed February, and it's been a little bit been around there since then. But right now, one Bitcoin is worth about $9,000. So whenever I told you I had one Bitcoin, I was lying.
I honestly thought they were worth like 30 cents right now. I had no idea.
Let's see, all time? I wonder... Oh, yeah, no, still good. If you got into Bitcoin in April 2017, you would be in extremely good shape right now. They were a grand apiece then.
What if you got into Bitcoin January 2004, which is when I feel like I first heard about it?
I don't think they existed in 2004.
Wow, people are just really annoying about Bitcoin.
Yes. Yeah, it made it feel like it's been around for longer because it's physically painful to hear about.
Hey, Josh, I told you about one of my plans. I would like to learn more about your life. What is one thing you are doing this summer that is awesome?
It's been mostly that so far. Actually, it's been entirely that. Not even almost entirely that.
Oh. Well,
do I have any awesome summer plans that I've forgotten about that you know about?
No, I don't. I was purely lobbing that up so you could be happy and tell people about your life and how great everything's going, and clearly that backfired.
Yeah, legitimately right now, the last thing that I told Beards before we got a hold of you was we need to have a contingency plan for tomorrow. Because here's the thing about having crippling allergies. Having you on has been great because there have been three or four times when you've talked and I've given Beards a throat-slashing motion so he cuts my mic so I can blow my nose in peace. But the hard thing about doing a two-hour radio show while having allergies is that it is actively trying to prevent me from doing the thing that I'm supposed to be doing while I'm here, which is, like, talk uninterrupted for a while. And sneezes don't really – you can't really, like, just worry about a sneeze later. It usually is going to kind of make itself known in the moment. That's been my spring so far.
Wow. Yeah, I've been fortunate. I've never had allergies.
God, I hate you.
Everyone has a trade-off. Everyone gets one thing that they have to deal with. Mine, like, during the kind of wintry season, I'll get some sinus infections. And I guess this year, pneumonia. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, like, yeah, it's mostly sinus infections for me, never allergies, which when I see other people dealing with it, I'm very glad that that is not me. No offense to you.
No, offense taken. Also, like, my eyes are fine, not during allergy season, but just, like, I don't wear glasses or anything, which I feel like this is kind of my trade-off. But, like, I feel like I could pull off glasses, you know? So, like, I don't know, maybe it gives me an extra accessory to work with. Allergy season just gives me, like, more things to shoot up my nose.
Yeah, I was going to say, in addition to all the drugs you're doing, it's a great cover for that.
It really is. That's true. The red eyes and the different nose-based trauma... It really is running incredible interference. Is there anything else specific that you want to talk about, Scott, now that we've got you here in studio?
No, man. Okay. I just wanted to come on and catch up with you, see how you – Beards, how are you doing?
I fortunately have a pane of glass between me and Josh, so I'm not getting any of his nasty sneeze juice on me.
He has a sneeze guard between us, literally.
Well, that's good. Nah, man. That's what I've got, and for sure, I'll start, once we get going here and once camps and news and things actually start happening, it'll be fun to kind of talk and see what you're up to and check in and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to sweep you out. I wanted to switch gears and ask you a question about a completely unrelated thing. I just wanted to make sure I hadn't trampled over anything else you wanted to talk about with KU or 24/7.
No, let's do it.
What the hell is Brad Stevens?
Oh, my God. He's a meme, first of all. He's not a real person.
That's true.
Here's the thing. Brad Stevens is a good NBA coach, a great. I hesitate to call him great. He's like gotten out. His team almost lost to the Bulls in the first round of the playoffs last year, but Rajon Rondo got injured. So he's a very good, very, very good head coach who is probably entering the great tier. People have become fascinated with, like, his baseline out of bounds or sideline out of bounds or late game plays. To the point where, like, I saw a tweet yesterday. I forget who was at the line. It was Marcus Smart. It was a one-point game with 3 seconds left. He had one free throw left. Everyone in the world who has, like, done basketball at a high level knows the smart play with Philadelphia and not have any timeouts left is to miss the free throw. That's basketball 101. They have to go the length of the floor. If you make the free throw, then they get to inbound it with the clock stop, and it's only a two-point game. Odds are they're going to shoot a three anyway. The two tying it won't matter. So everyone in the world knows he wants to miss that free throw intentionally. Marcus Smart tries to do it, fails to do it, and then I see a tweet, Brad Stevens is the best coach in the league. He figured out that missing that free throw. I'm like, dude, everyone was saying that. So to answer your question, a very good coach who gets 13 times the credit he deserves right now.
That's interesting. I haven't been particularly swooped up by the inbound plays or whatever. I just look at what Boston is winning with currently, and it's tremendously impressive. But also,
he makes a lot of good adjustments in the series. He's a guy, obviously, you know his success at Butler. Mm-hmm. It's just someone put a poll question out, and it was like, would you rather have Brad Stevens or any NBA player to start a franchise with? And people were saying Brad Stevens, like 30% of people.
That's not good.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's so incorrect. Like, you would take LeBron or Durant or Anthony Davis or Steph.
How many are there, though?
Cousins.
That's the better question. Is
like,
who would you take him over? Would you rather start a franchise with Brad Stevens or, like, Russell Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook, and not even a big Russell Westbrook guy.
I thought I might be able to get you on that one, but okay.
Yeah, there are probably 15 players, or maybe even 20 or so. Like, it starts becoming a conversation to me when you tell me Klay Thompson. Like, then I'm like, okay, is Klay Thompson my franchise cornerstone that we can, but like, give me Paul George, give me Jimmy Butler, give me Karl Anthony Towns, give me Kawhi Leonard, give me, like, I'll take Kyrie Irving. Like, it's just not even a debate, and the fact that people have decided, I'm sorry, how many championships have Brad Stevens won? Zero. And
I'll Google that while you're talking about it. Hold on. You keep talking.
Zero.
I'll Google it. Let's see.
The answer is zero.
How
many have teams without Brad Stevens won? All of them. So evidently you can win a championship without Brad Stevens. You don't need him on your coaching staff.
It looks like the answer is zero, according to Google.
Oh, thanks, John. That's very helpful. And again, he's a great coach. But, like, Greg Popovich is a great coach, and Phil Jackson was a great coach, and Steve Kerr is a great coach, and, you know, there are a lot of good coaches.
You don't
have to make a huge deal about one guy.
The thing about Stevens I think is interesting. Like, Steve Kerr seems to be the absolute perfect person for that Warriors team and for managing, like, a bunch of crazy talent and creating an atmosphere that is just perfect for that. And I don't know what Steve Kerr would do with a less talented roster. I don't know what Brad Stevens would do if he had to manage all of those guys. But I think it's extremely interesting. Also, if you haven't noticed, Scott, it is May, and oh my goodness, what else are we talking about?
Oh my God, right? And, well, the good news is the NBA playoffs just started. They'll be going for the next 18 months or something like that.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, that'll be very helpful. And then they'll announce who the 2018 MVP is, because they don't announce that until, like, I believe next March.
Also, there are two other professional sports being played. One of them doesn't exist in Kansas City, and the other one is the NHL. That's why we talk about Brad Stevens.
No, I debated LeBron versus something or other on another radio show today. So,
another radio show today. Wash the stench off of yourself.
I know, man. I didn't name the show though. So that's,
is that lipstick that's I see? Beard sees lipstick on your collar.
Wow.
Did you see the Ringer's top 50 superhero movies of all time list?
I did not. But do you want to read me something from it and ask me to respond to it?
You know what? You're so good at this radio thing. So they did 50, and it's good. You go to superheroes.theringer.com. You can see the whole thing. It's all fun. But I'm going to give you their top 10, and then I'm going to give you my top 10. And I want to, you can just jump in whenever you find something, that is worth jumping in for you. Also, we're trying to go very spoiler light on Infinity War. Everything else obviously is up for grabs.
How could you possibly be spoiler light? It's literally a meme. The ending to that movie is a meme.
I know. I don't know. I'm just trying to not ruin it for anybody. But
yeah,
it has
it
been
be
like
terrible
a month.
If people knew that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to spoil it.
It would be terrible if they found out that at the end, Barney the dinosaur actually did consume the entire galaxy in one bite.
Nice. Continue.
Number 10 for the this is the Ringer's list. It's Captain America Civil War at 10, Infinity War at 9, Iron Man the original at 8, Spider-Man 2 at 7. Any of that jump off the board to you?
Spider-Man 2, so like the one with like
with
Doctor
Octopus? Uh-huh. That feels crazy,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, that one's insane, but please continue.
At 6 is Wonder Woman, at 5 is the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's is this list by Ringer correspondent Tobey Maguire?
Number 4 is the 1978 Superman.
Sure.
Number 3 is the Avengers. Number 2 is Black Panther. And number 1 is Dark Knight.
Okay, well, Doctor Strange needs to be in here somewhere, as usual. It is the most underrated movie in movie history because no one talks about it with all the great ones, but it is so different, and the ending is, I won't spoil it, but it has one of the most clever endings to a superhero movie ever because, quite frankly, the superhero faces someone he is incapable of beating. So I like that.
It's at 28 on the Ringer's list, which I agree is a little bit low. The ending of Doctor Strange is something that I can't have a conversation with you about because I fell asleep at the end of that movie. Not because it was boring, but because I was sleep deprived.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the fight scene in that. So I don't think it's too big a spoiler. Like
it came out in 2016. You're good.
Okay, time is moving backwards, but the characters are moving forward, and that creates like one of the most elaborate ending fight scenes. And it's honestly like one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
Josh is currently blowing his nose. Are you back yet? Are you good?
I'm good. Here I am. okay, so that's the top 10 there. My top 10. Just let me know whenever you want to fight me. Okay.
Sure.
Number 10 is the original Spider-Man. I like the Spider-Man series altogether. 10 feels right. Number 9 is Avengers and Civil War. Captain America Civil War. Number 8 is Black Panther. I thought The Ringer had it too high. It's an extremely good movie, though.
Yeah.
Number
that's about
7.
My 5 for Marvel movies, 5 or 6, give or take. So that's pretty fair.
Yeah, it seems about right. Infinity War is 7, but it's got a little bit of an incomplete grade because I don't think we can judge it completely until the next installment for reasons that make sense to everyone who's seen it, I think. You understand what I'm getting at there?
Yeah. Okay. I have seen the movie.
So I know. Avengers at 6. That's my 10 through 6. The top 5 here, I think, are whenever I have a chance to get into a fight. Somewhere.
As long as you didn't put like Beauty and the Beast at number 3, like I'm sure Sean Collins did, then you know we'll be good.
Number 2 is Star Wars: The Last Jedi. Is that what you meant?
Huh. And I didn't know that actually.
Number 3 is Moana. Number 4 is Tarzan, and number 1 is still The Dark Knight because I can't do that to The Dark Knight.
Okay, do you have a serious top 5?
Yeah, it's Logan at 5, Deadpool at 4, Batman Begins at 3. Because all of those movies did a completely original thing for the superhero genre in the moment that they were in.
What did Batman Begins do that was original?
It started off this whole trilogy. It was the origin of the Christopher Nolan universe.
Okay. Okay. Oh. Okay. So you're grading it like that because it was the precursor to like Dark Knight and all that stuff.
Also, as a standalone movie, I think it belongs up here. But it's like 2 through 8 is hard here for me.
Okay. Continue.
Number 2 is Iron Man, and number 1 is The Dark Knight. This feels hard to fight me on.
Man, Iron Man is really good. The Dark Knight is also obviously like a great movie. I just didn't like those weren't. They are obviously superhero movies in that it's a guy wearing a costume fighting crime. Like, absolutely, those are superhero movies. But do you get what I mean when I say it kind of feels like they cross a genre that is outside of a superhero movie?
Sir, I couldn't hear what you're saying, but you're just talking to me.
Oh, okay. Those two movies kind of cross out of the superhero genre just because of, like, are superhero movies, obviously, but they're like, dramatic.
But so does Batman Begins, and so does Logan, and in a way, so does Deadpool.
Yeah, so I get why you're going with those movies is what I'm saying. I just, like, if you ask me to name my top superhero movies...
This is what I was hoping you would do. Yep.
Yeah, well, like, movies like Infinity War would be probably a lot higher than you would have them. Thor Ragnarok, by the way, where is this on your list? I think that's my favorite superhero
movie. I haven't seen it yet.
It was just out of my top 10.
Yeah. It's really good. It is. And because I'm me and I live in a bunker, basically, I avoided, like... I guess there are two characters on all the posters, So everyone knew these two characters were going to fight going in. But because I had never, you know, I had avoided everything, and then I saw it like a year after it came out, mm-hmm. I didn't know these two characters were going to fight. So when it happened, I was like, oh, my God, like, what a crazy thing. And I texted Sean, and he was like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, everyone knew about that.
Like, that was in the trailer.
Yeah. So,
but okay, that counts. That's fun.
Yeah. But if you want my top five real quick.
I do.
Off the top of my head, Thor Ragnarok 1, Doctor Strange 2, Infinity War 3, Captain America 4, Black Panther, Amazing Spider-Man are in there.
I wanted to talk about Amazing Spider-Man.
Dark Knight are hard for me, mm-hmm. just because, like, those, I saw those so long ago. I haven't seen them in a while, so yeah. I'm going off memory here. But that would be kind of my top five. It'd either be Black Panther or The Amazing Spider-Man rounding it out. There were a lot of movies I liked. ScarJo needs her own movie. The Black Widow character has been awesome in
yes.
several Marvel movies. And, like, it's time that Natasha Romanoff or whatever her name is gets, yes. She deserves her own movie.
They've gone through, like, 40 or 50 director candidates for that, by the way. That is happening, though.
Is it?
Yes, they've interviewed 1,000 directors so far. Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 are criminally underrated. I like 2 better
Wait,
than 1,
second?
Actually.
Hold on. There's a second?
You haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Oh, no. Hold on. I meant
You went
Spider-Man
Homecoming?
Homecoming.
Ah.
Yeah, not the one with Dragon Bender playing Spider-Man. That one's freaking ridiculous.
Oh, how dare you! Criminally underrated. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is
it was
just
on the,
outside oh, my
it was
top
on
10.
The top, it was on the bottom 50 worst comic book movies we looked at earlier, by the
there,
way.
I mean, there are like 100. It just it missed the top 50 on the Ringer list. Amazing Spider-Man 2 deserves
whatever.
Respect. Scott is unwilling to give the respect it deserves.
Yeah. No, all right. I'm curious.
Well, Scott, we're out of time. So thank you for coming in studio for this today. I really appreciate it. Good to see you, as always. Your voice does sound a little bit overmodulated, though.
All right. Thanks, man. And, hey, you look great, by the way. I really
thank you. Thank you. All of the bags right, under my eyes and the sneezing I'm doing hasn't harmed Scott's view of me as he sits here with us in studio. You can follow him on Twitter at Chase and Scott. Read all the stuff at 24/7 Sports. Just go follow him on Twitter and then click all the links, damn it. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, unless I die in my sleep tonight because I'm literally murdered by pollen. Fingers crossed, I guess. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.